Welcome back, everybody, to the Hunt Experience. I am Cody Gann.
I am Chris Brewer. This episode is sponsored by Camo Family Outdoors and Whitetail Property Management.
So today's topic, so we're in postseason, Chris, right?
Postseason, yep. Season's over.
Season's over. So we're going to look at, kind of go over the things that need to be done in the postseason right now.
Yep.
Both of our places need this.
Postseason projects.
So we are episode number three, right?
Episode number three.
All right. So
we're knocking them out.
In our first one, we talked about planting red osier dogwood.
Yep.
And so you got to go take a look at some of that, right?
Went down there yesterday, drove around, looked at every single plant. The update is no update.
Nothing's
happening yet. So. No, but no, we're only 2 weeks in. So
Right.
Yeah, so, fingers are still crossed that something's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. And it's like 30 something degrees outside right now. So
Yeah.
That's so, not going to help things yet.
So. Probably not. So, but we'll definitely keep y'all posted on that. As I said before, found tons of video on planting it, but nobody came back and updated and say, does it work? So we're definitely going to keep.
So we'll just keep checking and see.
Keep everybody posted on failure or completion of the project.
So. And hopefully we can come back and say, hey, it works in the South.
Yeah.
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Well, right there on the cuff. You get some
cool footage of me arrowing a big buck over red
ocean. Sure, he's got a big old piece of dogwood hanging out. That would be awesome.
That's ideal. So that's what we're shooting for. That's the goal.
Right. So, okay. So one thing we want to talk about today is stand access.
Yeah.
And how huge it is right now to get out there and get access to your stands cleared and corridor access cleared too, right?
Yeah. So, you know, the 40-acre project, I had some stands that didn't hunt the way I thought they would hunt and some access issues. I never got busted out of them, but I could see where I could. So, right now is a good time before, you know, everything gets too bushy. Both snakes and chiggers and all that stuff get out. So I can go out there and change it. My personal one, my main one, I have to actually make a curve out into the visual stuff. So my switchgrass is going to take care of all that, but it's still pretty immature switchgrass. So
takes a while to make it.
I'm a few years out from that. So I've got to actually change the way I come into that thing and not make that curve, which I should have did it last year, but I got a little lazy and the trail was kind of already there, so I used it.
We were running out of time, too.
Yeah, it was getting late. I missed some early season just, you know, trying to get ready. So, great time to do that. So my personal one is, most of my access is there. It's small changes just to stay out of view. You and I are both real big on, you know, we don't go out there during season, obviously, but we try to clean them out pre-season and keep them up, as leaf-free and stick-free as possible. And so I'm actually going to widen one of mine out a little bit because we both supplemental feed, and I've got a new little cart that I'm going to use this year. And so I'm actually going to make mine a little bit wider so I can actually use that access trail to supplement feed on as well. So I've got a little bit of chainsawing work to do.
To open up.
Make it a little bit wider and make access to that so I can get in and out quietly without being seen. But
yeah, and like you said, right now, no foliage.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just starting to bud on some stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, we're right at the edge of it's fixing to green up. So right now is a good time to go out there and you can actually see.
Exactly.
You know, okay, when it comes later in the season, this is what a deer would see, right?
Yeah.
So if you can figure out, hey, this is my thickest spot I can go in and access.
Yeah.
It's going to help you.
Yeah. And so, you know, things I did last year, I even like took some of the trees left over from the 40-acre project and I stacked them in areas.
Yeah.
To give myself a little bit of side cover. So, you know, these are all things that, you know, well, for one, there's nothing else to do. There's nothing really to hunt right now. So why not get out and make some improvements?
Yeah, turkeys aren't here yet, right? Yeah,
or, you know, always trying to improve something on it. So
yeah,
that was that's something I'm going to be doing. Now's a great time to do it. Obviously, like I said, for me, it's like, man, it's not going to be super hot.
Yeah.
And the bugs aren't out yet. So
right. Might
as well get out there and get some chainsaw and hacking and getting that stuff knocked out.
No southern sweating going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so for me, on the access side, you know, I put in that new stand.
Yeah.
Videos on camo on that one. And right away, I realized that my access was going to be an issue because I had planned to build my big pond. Well,
right.
That didn't work out. You know how things go. And
season everything halts.
Yeah. You got to stop it once the deer start moving. So what I've got planned on my place is getting that pond dug. And actually, the pond bank itself plays a big role in my access. Yeah. So, you know, I hunted that spot a couple times last year. And once I busted a deer out, and it's like, okay, I can't use this yet. I need to really improve the access. So that's something I'm going to go take a look at right away. I've kind of got it drawn up as far as how I want to do it and everything.
Yeah.
I already have the dozer, but the dozer has to be repaired. Yeah. And for some reason, we have that issue. You know, in your place, I killed the dozer last year.
Yeah.
So
that seems to be the trend.
We got to change that trend.
We should go to dozer mechanic school so we can handle these problems.
I'm telling you, man. And I don't know if it's just bad luck or it's just the way I am. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty. My wife tells me all the time, like, you are so rough on stuff. It's going to do what I want it to do or it ain't. I mean,
that's funny.
But yeah, the way you've got that laid out, once you get that bank up there, I mean, that'll solve all your problems for sure.
Yeah. And that's going to be the key is, you know, how we are, man. If you can't get in and get out, then I'm not going to hunt it because I know I'm going to mess it up.
Yeah.
So I've done it so many times in the past. And that's one of those things, you know, we talk about what we learn, you know, on my place, I've had a plot for a long time. And if you can't get in and get out, you're going to mess it up.
Oh yeah.
It's coming.
That's kind of like, you know, discussions we've had in the past. What's the most important thing you learned, you know, in that season? And it's like, man, you know, access has to be number one for me.
Yeah.
Yep. And then two, it's like, you know, hunting on the right day, so on and so forth.
But yeah.
Access is everything. So that's something, you know, on our list of to-dos.
For sure.
You hunt it 1 year, especially after the changes we made. You know, we both made some pretty significant changes in our place.
Right.
Mine hunted a lot different than I thought it would. And then, you know, I could see some of my access is pretty good, but there's a couple little tweaks here and there that I need to make. You know, just to stay out of the view, especially until a lot of my cover comes in. Once a lot of that cover comes in, it's going to change the game even more. But I'm looking still a couple of years out, 2-3 years out before the switch comes in.
Takes
off, yeah.
Well, see, I think it would be real easy for us to come back and talk about access as a whole show.
Oh, that's a show for sure.
Oh, because, dude, it's so huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, even on my place, you can see, I mean, Lexi's spot that she's had for years now is almost bulletproof access wise.
Oh, yeah.
And it has been a game changer.
Yeah.
I mean, especially early here for us. So
she snaps one how many years in a row?
She's 3 years in a row, but she shot deer that we didn't find for several years before that.
That might be another show.
Yeah, that's a whole nother. Of course, she'd love that if we bring all that.
Yeah.
But all right. So, access is huge right now. So get in there, get those access trails made into those stands.
Yeah.
And like I said, we're going to come back to this. This will be a full show one time. We want to talk about it because it's that important to us.
No, it is. Yeah. It's something, you know, even as long as you and I have been kind of messing around with this stuff, I learned a lot about it even last year after redoing my whole entire property. It's amazing. I tell you, it's amazing to get in a stand with 2-3 doe groups in there and then get out. Sometimes me and Luke both and get out and
never get busted.
Nothing ever even knows we're there. And it's like, especially when you can have eyes on them, you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
it's one thing, like, you get out, you're hunting big woods, and you get out and you don't spook a deer on your way out. But when you're actually looking at them and you get out, it's like, okay, this is working.
Well, I remember the text from you that was like, dude, I just got out and I had like 15 deer in my food plot.
Yeah.
And that was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. It's almost as good, especially when you put in the work that we did for access and the, you know, I mean, I don't know how many times we talked about stand placement and, you know, it's like, many, many, many conversations, and, you know, I tend to overthink stuff
No.
Yeah, a little bit. And it's like, so it's like, it's hard for me to pull the trigger on exactly where to go with and all that stuff. So that's when I get you involved. I'm like, man, what do you think here? So
yeah,
it's like, but to see, I guess, the fruits of our labor, and you get out with, you know, three doe groups in there, 15, 16 deer at a time, and nobody's the wiser. And it's like, that's
pretty cool.
Yeah. And I've even walked in, you know, I walked in a couple times and didn't know deer were on the plot till, you know, the access I'm fixing to change right now. Yeah. You kind of got to dip out and kind of on the edge of the food plot. Oh, gosh, there's deer right there.
What, are you tired of belly crawling into the stand?
Yes, I belly crawl a couple times. I forgot about that.
You belly crawled it. So what are you, you're only talking to like 50 feet, though, right? So it's just like a, you're just taking the curve out of the access and be straight shot in there.
Yeah, it's a quick
fix. Plus, it's really thick right behind you, so it's going to work out really good.
Yeah, yeah. No, it'll be good. And like I said, I've got that cart that I'm going to be using now to feed with. So I'm going to make a little turnaround spot in there for it and just kind of back up and be able to, you know, feed in there as I want to feed in, and it should be
better.
That might be a whole other show too. So.
Should be better.
I'm kind of anxious to see how that changes or if it does my daylight activity.
Oh, I'm betting on it, man. Yeah. I'm betting on it. So. All right. So access. And then, so now let's talk about me and you both last year. Actually, I went a year ahead of you, but we both added water holes last year.
Yep.
And so right now is a great time to maintenance the water holes, right?
Yeah. You know, fall time, deer don't mind kind of that dirt. You don't have to be like crystal clear water or anything. I've watched some kooky YouTube videos where people are putting Kool-Aid in them, trying to get sweet water and everything else. But, you know, in my opinion and my experience, you know, they'll drink out of, they almost prefer, you know, a water hole versus a running creek.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's temperature. I'm not going to get into all that. But right now, mine are full of leaves. You get that stuff kind of rotten in there.
Yeah.
You know, if you've ever been riding a four-wheeler side by side and you go through a mud hole, it's got leaves all in it. It smells like a septic tank or something. So for me, I want to get those all raked out, get that stuff out of there, which it's a quick process. I've got three on my place. I mean, you know, you can ride out there and rake them out fairly quickly and easily. The other thing would be, you know, I always keep a stick in mine. I use cedar because I figure it's going to last a long time, but make sure that's good and sturdy so you don't run up on a dead armadillo or possum or something in your deal. Well, so
it's funny you say that because me and Lexi early season was in her stand and we got a water hole there, and it was like we was watching this fox squirrel.
Yeah.
And he jumped in and like I didn't have a stick in there.
Yeah.
And so he splashed around for like, oh my gosh, man, this is horrible. Do we get down? Do we save the squirrel? CPR, what do we do?
You know, squirrel CPR, Google that right quick.
Yeah, he's just like splashing around. Well, he finally gets out, you know, and it's like, oh, thank goodness he didn't drown right here, you know. So, you know, definitely want to put something in there for the critters to get out.
I normally just go cut like some kind of, you know, 4 or 5 inch round cedar stick, and then I'll like notch it on one end so it sets on the actual tub so it can't slide down.
Gotcha. But
something to check on, because I know, so I put mine in by hand the first time.
That was a lesson, wasn't it?
So I almost died three times. Then I waited until summertime to do it. And so when we did the 40 acre project, I had to move these things all around. So it's like, oh my gosh, you know, this is going to be so bad. But anyway, I went and borrowed a buddy of mine's Traco and knocked them out in like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So never again will I probably hold a pickaxe in my hand. But when I redid all mine, some of them I used, like I didn't go with the cedar because it wasn't handy. So, you know, if you got one that's got like a oak stick or something like that in there, I would just go through and double check that to make sure, you know, if a big armadillo or a big possum falls down inside that thing, it can crawl back out of it. And I think you learned that firsthand with the squirrel deal.
So yeah.
Throw a stick in there. And if you don't have water holes, it's not too hot yet. Now would be a good time to place those water holes.
Sure. As well. Yeah. Yeah. You could think about
by hand.
Yep. Think about putting them in right now. A small Kubota tractor will dig a hole.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't like it, but it'll dig a hole. Yeah. So, and that's how I was able to put the one. I've only got one, and I've actually got a small watering pond, I guess is what you would call it. Yeah. That's my other source. But Definitely seen a lot of activity on them.
Man, I did. Yeah. You know, since I moved that one around and, you know, I was sending you pictures of that one spot, and it's like, man, they were. So I got does bedding in one area and they would hit it every morning. And on the other side of the property, of the evening times, I would get a lot of buck action on it, you know. And it's like the first year I put one in and had a little bit of early season stuff on it when it was kind of warm, but then it kind of just faded away.
Yeah.
But this year, man, it was year round. They were, I don't know if it was just the location.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they got a ton of action on them.
Well, I think too, you know, when we set your place up, we added corridors.
Yeah.
And you got them along corridors. Yeah. So it's like a natural travel route.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so there's no doubt that's a winning combination.
Yeah. No, it works. I was very surprised by, you know, how much they actually use it, especially considering I've got wet weather creeks that have water holes that hold water. I've got a pretty big creek next to me. You know, of course, there's ponds everywhere, but they like the water holes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, I think it's more of a, I'm on my way to get breakfast, or I'm on my way to, on my way to get supper, or on my way to go check out some does. I'm gonna get a quick drink right here. And it's like, they work.
Well, you know, I guess it would be 2 years ago, I actually made a video where I put a camera over a scrape.
Yeah.
And had all for like 6 months worth of footage over.
Yeah. That's super cool.
Well, right next to the scrape was a water hole. And what I found out is a lot of the footage was not checking the scrape, was going to that water hole. Yeah. And they would come back and like feet would be wet and it's like, he was in the water hole.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely. I can definitely see the attraction there,
yeah.
You know, especially in good old Arkansas, you know, early season, we're liable to be bone dry.
Yeah.
And you know, you have the ability to fill those up. That's an attractant all its own right there.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it plays a big role here, especially on the years we don't get rain.
Yeah. That's the other. That's a good point too. As far as filling them up, you're gonna have to around here, especially.
And I don't know about,
but so I got the forks on the tractor and one of those little food grade water totes, and you know, I say that you can let them get down pretty low and they'll still drink out of them. But I probably filled mine up two or three times last year, and the last time was just like, all right, I'm fixing to start hunting. Let me get them topped off one last time, and may or may not have needed to do it, but so.
Yeah, yeah, we finally started raining, and they were filling naturally, but man, it was rough. We had a couple months there of just nothing, so definitely some attraction to the waterhole side.
Yeah, for sure.
And we were talking about, you know, I was talking about the Kubota,
yeah.
You know, so there is some tractor maintenance that can be done right now. That's another good thing you could be doing.
Yeah, I'm fixing to start that up right now, as a matter of fact. you know, before you go out, we talked about, you know, we're rough on stuff, so. Maintenance is especially, you know, tillers, tractors, brush hogs, you know, a grease gun goes a long way. Not to mention, you know, keeping your oil changed and all that stuff. But I'm fixing to do that maybe even today on mine and go around. I got my tiller on back right now. So everything needs to be greased up, lubed up, you know, just the basic stuff. Because, man, once planting season comes, you do not want to. You know, we don't want to be stuck down for a day, because typically when you and I get together, it's like you bring your stuff to my house, I bring mine to your house, and like we're trying to get it done because rain's on the way.
Yeah. Yeah. We're trying to beat the weather.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, it's really tough to get that acre food plot planted with a rake.
Yeah.
You know, so maintenance of tractors, it's important.
It's kind of like the water hole deal. You know, it's like, man, the older I get, I like hydraulics. I'm not really a pickaxe or a shovel guy.
Exactly.
I don't like operating that stuff. So, yeah, keeping good work in order. Now's a good time to get out there and do that. Of course, I mean, you need to do it all the time, but you know,
this is a good time.
Yeah,
it's not hot yet.
Yeah,
it's not miserable outside. There's nothing biting you.
Yeah.
Snake's probably not going to get you right now. So.
No. Wasp nest not underneath your brush hog yet. So if you lift it up, you don't have to
run.
You know, hop off the tractor or anything. That's happened.
Finally. Yeah. So the Kubota, I actually just had to change the front tire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had a slow leak all year. So got that tire swapped out. Well, if, you know, you find out that from tractor people, from my brother and my dad, that if you change on a four-wheel drive tractor, if you change one front tire, you need to change them both. yeah. because you got two different tread depths.
That makes sense. Yeah. Kind of like change the gear ratio on from right to left.
Exactly. Or exactly. So, yeah. So I changed
it. That's another good tip because I probably wouldn't know that.
Well, see, I changed the front tire and it's like, all right, I got that tire changed. And they're like, you know, you probably ought to change that other tire. Right? Yeah. And it's like, I know a guy that lost his, you know, full wheel drive.
Front differential blown out. It's
like, okay. So, you know, put two new tires on it. Yeah. See what happens.
Why not?
Yeah. So it's just a little more work. I mean, you know, so.
Yeah, I got mine's up there. Gosh, I don't even know. Close to probably pushing that 200-hour maintenance deal by this point. So I'll have to go through and do the hydraulic and the filters and all that stuff before plant season rolls around. Because like I said, you know, once we'll be hanging on to our seed for 3 weeks to a month, watching the weather. It's like, hey, man, this weekend there's 60%. All right, let's go. Let's get it. You know, it's like
let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's take the chance.
Throw them in high gear and let's get this stuff done.
Exactly. All right. So, Chris, just to recap, so you have access to stands.
Yeah.
You want to look at them water holes.
Yeah.
Need to do a little tractor maintenance, right?
Yeah.
And so we got coming up on your place, we're actually putting in some fruit trees.
Yeah. You know, I did the orchard last year. Uh-huh. And you can check that out on Camo Family Outdoors on YouTube. I had... You know, I got pretty good luck, actually. I forgot how many I planted. 8 trees, I think.
It was 8, yeah.
And I had my persimmon tree died, which I got it replaced for free. And those are actually supposed to be coming in today. And I got a couple more trees, a Fuji and an Arkansas black apple, which I already have on the big plot, but I'm going to put those down in the lower plot just for another attraction. Where same place I put the red osier dogwood. And on the south side, I'm going to put some... fruit trees over on the northern side of that little plot. Because like you said, that was your number one pick, and I think that food plot's going to be awesome. So
I think, and that's the thing too, man. It's like we were talking about. Fruit trees is another one of those things you got to wait some years.
Yeah.
It's going to take 2 or 3 years to get that fruit coming.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's an investment in your property.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you're a really serious whitetail guy, you might want to have one.
I mean, you know, I think about those things. So, I drove around there Sunday, and I was checking, read the red osier stuff, and a lot of my fruit trees are already blooming. Ooh. And it's like, man, so this is year 2 on some of those. You know, they were saying year 3, year 4-ish. I'm like, can you imagine the pull that, you know, 8 or 10 fruit trees is going to bring there? You know, and it's like so how we are. Did all the investigation before I did it, the self-pollinators, how far to plant them, the ones that cross-pollinate, which ones work better with apple trees, and, you know, the planting depth, caging them, putting stuff around the bottom, because, you know, let's say rabbits and squirrels, they'll get in there and actually, like, girdle your fruit trees. They'll just eat a big strip out of them and kill them dead. So these are all things that the investigating side of it went, so... To plant 8 and lose 1, I thought that was pretty good.
On a drought fall.
Yeah. You know, I kept them all watered, which, you know, it's a hassle, but, you know, it kind of goes with what we talk about. It's like, how bad do you want it?
Yep.
And it's like every other day I'm filling up the tote, putting it on the tractor, and, you know, I'm going and watering. And then you brought up something the other day about like a 5-gallon bucket trick I may try out this year to maybe have to save some trips out there or something.
Well, I had seen one day I went by a place and I forget, they had probably like 10 trees out there, and there was a 5-gallon bucket beside each tree. And I thought, what in the world? Well, come to find out, there's like a little pinhole in that thing, and it's full of water, and it's watering.
Yeah.
Of course, I hadn't looked into the exact of it, but that may be something to check into. At least maybe you're filling up a 5-gallon bucket, you know, once a week versus you know, whatever.
Man, I think that the way I do it, I'm pretty fast and furious. I go out there and put a 5-gallon bucket underneath the tote, and I water them 5 gallons at a time. Like every, you know, during that time I was doing it like every other day because it was, the ground was concrete.
You know, it was horrible.
Which I did, you know, I put mulch around them to help, you know, hold some of that moisture too, which I think helps. But, you know, they say, you know, those, it got so hot, so dry, that mulch helps keep the root system cooler, which probably saved a lot of them. Also,
I bet
it retained some water. So, you know, for me, that was pretty good odds having, you know, one tree die out of all that. So,
so for those that don't know, kind of recap, maybe kind of recap like the planting depth, exactly kind of what you did.
All right. So, well, I mean, when I started out, I kind of mapped mine out, right? So we had plans of building the deer mansion. So I'm thinking ahead when these trees get 20 foot tall, I want to be able to have shooting lanes down there with them. So I mapped it out and literally mapped it out, like measured like each tree is X amount of feet apart.
Right.
And it's staggered.
You had a plan.
I did, yeah. So I just like I overthink things a little bit. But they're staggered. So I've got shooting lane kind of down the middle, and each of them are separated, you know, 35, 40 feet apart. So I'll even have diagonal shooting lanes in them as well. So when they get bigger, I've still got these lanes. So that's, for me, you got to map it out. Like, you don't want to go out there and put five trees in the middle of your food plot and then you can't see the backside of it.
Right,
like,
right.
So for me, that was my first step. Like, how do I want this to lay out? And then after that, it was, you know, planting a fruit tree. What fruit trees do you want? When they're going to drop? So mine, I've got some apple trees, some pear trees. Some of them drop early. Some of them drop late. So I should have, I should have fruit dropping from, you know, September all the way into December, the way I've got it set up right now. So yeah, do your research on that planning zone. You know, where are you at? What grows where you are? But for me, you know, having that attraction the whole hunting season, especially during that muzzleloader time. So you don't want them all to drop, you know.
Yeah.
And produce fruit in the springtime, and then you guys got a tree in your way.
Or like, it's over in a week.
Yeah, exactly. You know. So I kind of did the research and planned mine out to where, you know, they're going to drop. Some drop early, some drop late. So
gotcha.
I've got that some kind of attraction all the way through there. And then, you know, the other side would be, after you map it out, figure out what trees you want. You know, like I said earlier, touch on a little bit. Some trees self-pollinate. Others, you got to have other trees around them. You got to plant them, you know, certain widths apart so they pollinate each other. So on the depth side of it, I read, you know, a long time ago that you want to have the root ball sticking up just a little bit above. Otherwise, you can kind of get some rot going on the trunk and stuff. So that's easy rule of thumb. On the width, however, whatever size a root ball is, you want to go twice that.
And
that just kind of allows the plant to have loose soil to, you know, get a good start.
Get the roots spread out on.
Yeah. So rough up the root ball and then twice as big around as the root ball is. And the other thing I did to it is I wrapped the trunks up with some small cages because I'd read that rats, rabbits, squirrels, all kinds of varmints will get in there and actually like girdle that tree and kill it.
So eat the bark all the way around it.
They'll eat the bark all the way around it, and then now you got a dead tree. So I did that as step two, and then step three was actually cage the entire tree, which is, you know, I didn't make it too sturdy. I used a couple T-posts and some wire and kind of angled them out there just to keep the deer from browsing.
I can imagine as many does as you had running around in your place.
Bunch of does, yeah.
They would have wiped them trees out in a hurry.
Yeah, every leaf on them would have been done. And then the other side was the bucks, you know.
Oh, yeah. You had rubs on, like, every tree around the edge.
Every tree that was
sapling.
Any sapling next to a big tree or on the edge was pretty much rubbed up. So I think I would have had a lot of dead trees. And the other factor was, you know, occasionally we get hogs around there. So I actually had one push the cage all the way in and root around the tree, didn't damage it. But I think, you know, having that loose soil and stuff, it deterred them from getting in there. They could have rooted them up, pull them out of the ground. You know how pigs do. So
yeah,
that was another reason for caging them. And, you know, I'm gonna probably leave mine caged longer than normal just because, and I'm hoping, you know, the clock's ticking. I'm hoping year three I'll actually have fruit dropping on these things. So I'm going to leave them caged up a little bit longer than normal just for those reasons. Just hopefully, you know, give them the best chance to
survive.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing too. You know, it's a lot of people won't take the steps or invest in something that's going to take 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
But it's also the same way with switch.
Yeah.
Switchgrass exactly. takes, you know, yeah. it takes a couple of years to establish. So,
yeah. I did that last year. It's like I didn't want to wait. So I did a bunch of plot screening. And then,
right.
And now this year, I've converted everything over to switchgrass for right now where I'm going to. Some of the stuff on the backside, some of the stuff that was kind of like segregating the plot into different sections, I mowed all that down. And I'm going to go switch into every bit of those, all those locations. Then, you know, I had some bald spots and some spots that didn't get sunlight really good.
Right.
So I've got the seed bed kind of ready for that. Missed out on the frost seeding deal because I wasn't for sure 100% what I wanted to do yet. But I got seed on the way. The seed bed's ready, and I have sprayed, you know, pre-emergent in those spots. Hopefully get ahead of the spring green, and that way we have, you know.
So you went in there and sprayed simazine?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And so you can frost seed during the winter.
Yeah.
All the way up to, like, what, February for us, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, we actually get some warm days in March. Yeah. So, like you said, you did do a little bit of frost seeding. Yeah. I know that the old food plot,
yeah.
Yeah, where we did the red osier dogwood.
Yeah.
You know, you did it in there, and then so... And then you went in there, like you said, and took the fingers out that we had in plot screen and put those in switch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, the frost eating deal, it's like that was new to us, but I mean, I had a pretty good turnout last year doing the frost
eating
deal. It works.
So, yes, it does.
This year, I just kind of said I missed it, but I'm going to do some spring planting. And, you know, there's some areas that, you know, we had a lot of traffic, so we did a lot of food plot work, so we had tractors in and out, the big 4 tons of lime buggy in and out of there, side by side. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, and it kind of just beat that area down. And so I'm going to fill in some spots, and like I said, on one side of mine it got a lot of shade, so I extended that seed bed out hoping to get some more sunlight on it.
Right.
Lost some food plot, but hoping to make up for it with good cover, because, you know, like we talked about, 2-3 years into this thing, you know, the benefits is access.
Yes.
You can get in, you can get out without being seen. Number two, we've both seen it happen. A big buck can sit back in the woods 20, 40, 50 yards, however open your woods are, and look into those food plots. And a lot of times you'll never know he's there.
Exactly.
The switchgrass wall forces those bucks to come in there and say, you know, is there does in here? Which. Right. Could be a difference maker between harvesting your target buck and not, you know.
Absolutely. So. And that, you know, that big old boy, he feels a lot more comfortable in cover.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, than wide open spaces, obviously.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a problem we've had on, you know, both of our properties is a lot of, you know, we're surrounded by big woods and big timber. So we can't go on other people's property and make it better. We can go on ours and make it better. But,
right.
you know, access for us is pretty huge. And like I said, you know, even some of the areas, whatever you can do on your place, you know, it's like if you got to go through and hinge cut or pile up some brush piles, or, you know, there's several different ways to do it. But for us, it's the switch.
Well, and that's, you know, again, it goes back to patience, which me and you, we both struggle with patience. We want it to happen. Yeah. But, you know, even on my place, I went back last year where my plot screen had been and I moved it back.
Right.
And I planted that spot in switch. And so, you know, I don't know how good it did.
Yeah.
I'll find out. And I actually did a switch spring planting. I didn't frost seed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hopefully this year I'm getting some pretty good stand, I hope.
Yeah.
We did have a horrendous drought that just, you know, so I don't know if, you know, if it survived or not, but that'll be fun to see.
Yeah.
And should start popping here before too long. Switches a little bit later in the summer.
Yeah, a little bit later.
Yeah. But, you know, we'll see. So, I mean, that's
exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. So, you know, just to recap everything, red osier dogwood, we checked the progress. Yep. Access to the stands.
Yep.
That's huge, huge, huge.
Yeah.
Think about that right now. If you can go look at a stand, check that access.
Yeah, for sure.
It's worth especially
while there's no leaves on the trees.
Exactly.
And seeing what they're seeing.
Before all the critters get out. Water holes. If you don't have one, we recommend adding one for sure.
Yeah.
And if you have one, go out there and get them cleaned out.
Yeah, clean them out a little bit.
Yeah, because you lost a lot of leaves into them most likely.
Yeah, for sure.
And check for little squirrels swimming around in there. You don't want those in. Yeah. That's not a good thing.
Yeah.
Tractor maintenance. We talked about that a little bit.
Yeah.
And you got to take care of them tractors unless you want to break your back and do it the hard way.
Yeah, don't like that. We like hydraulics, not hard work.
That's right. And then fruit trees, add to your place. It's going to be cool.
Yeah.
I think that'll just make it better. And it's another one of them projects like we talked about. You know, you're 2 to 3 years out, maybe even four.
Yeah.
And then that ties in with the switch. Switch is the same way. Yep. But the payoffs are big when it's successful.
Yeah, for sure. Patience.
Patience. So
not my virtue, but yeah, sometimes you got to do it.
Yep. So, hey, we're coming into that time of year where it's turkey chasing time.
Yep. Yeah. Stay tuned for next week. We're going to be talking turkey.
Don't talk turkey. We may have some guest speakers. Yep, we don't know yet.
We got some people lined up. Going to be on here talking about some turkey calls and some, how to hunt them. What's the best way? A lot of good tips on there. So yeah, looking forward to that. Those shows will be fun for sure.
Yep. Guys, check us out on all of our medias, which are Chris.
Yep. We got, obviously, the Hunt Experience, Campbell Family Outdoors, and Whitetail Property Management. And those all have Facebook pages, YouTube, and there's phone numbers, emails down there. Anybody got any, something you want us to talk about, show ideas, questions, comments? We're open to all that stuff.
Yep. Love to hear from you guys anyway and every way. We want to thank you guys for listening today. Yep, this has been the Hunt Experience. Have a good one.
Thank you.